MERS newsletter editor Kyle Malin. Francis was kind enough to get him on the other end of our line. How are you, Kyle?
Great. Thank you, Tony.
It's funny that your daughter wanted to answer the phone. My kids always want to do that stuff, too, and I let them, you know.
Oh, yeah, sure.
That's.
Didn't you always want to answer the phone when you were a kid?
I know I did. I wonder what. Okay.
Now I just don't want to answer the phone.
Funny how that changes, isn't it?
Yeah.
All right. Let's start on a local level. Just want to get your take on what happened at the polls yesterday. As you predicted, the millage passed.
Yeah, it looked a little scary, though, at the beginning. Obviously, the millage was failing after the absentees were in, but I looked, and actually it was the same amount, basically 2,500 voters, basically the same amount of voters who voted absentee that
voted. Kyle, just to be clear, we're talking about the proposal which would prevent more cuts for police and fire.
Yeah, that's right.
Right.
Yeah, right. And, you know, it failed in May, obviously, and back in May it was basically because the absentee voters were so strongly against it. And this time, the same number of absentee voters were against it, but we had 300 more yes votes, and that combined with the extra turnout because of the general election helped propel that to a 52-48% victory. It was a very slim margin, but one of the things I did last night for MERS was to take a look at the other millages that were going on across the state. I ended up looking into 73 different millages, and in 80% of the case, Tony, the millage, whether it was a renewal, I know some of these were renewals, but 80% of the time, these millages were approved. And we're not talking necessarily always about very small areas, because most of them were small, but in the city of Warren, which is larger than us actually, they approved a substantial millage. Dearborn, which is a little smaller than us, but still a very significant size city, also passed the millage. So across the state, you're seeing communities approve their millage, and it's because every community in the state is getting hammered with revenue sharing cuts from the city and declining revenue. And so I think that's why it was even more important for Lansing to follow suit, because other communities are investing in their police and fire, and it was important for Lansing to do so as well, and obviously a majority thought so.
The Lansing proposal to authorize the sale of a portion of the Red Cedar Golf Course was overwhelmingly approved.
Well, and I think that's because voters can actually see the property. I mean, I'm sure about every single voter has driven past on Michigan Avenue, that property next to Frandor. They've seen that there's nothing going on there, and it's basically a commercial area anyway. So, you know, just to designate a certain part of that to be commercial makes a lot of sense, especially since you've already had the drain commissioner sign off on that, and you're not going to get any more liberal than Pat Lindemann. So, I mean, it really takes care of the conservative pro-business person who wants development. And also, if you're on the liberal side, if Pat Lindemann says it's okay, then it can't be half bad.
Any surprises with Lansing City Council?
I know that I said that the first ward was going to be a toss-up with Lynn Martinez and Jody Washington, but I still thought that Lynn Martinez would win just because of her name ID. But I tell you, you really can't beat, there is no incumbent running, you can't beat just good old-fashioned door-knocking and connecting with voters. And I think that's what Jody Washington did in beating Martinez, a former state rep. You know, I know that the campaign got a little dirty there for a first ward race, but really these races come down to knocking on doors, making connection with voters, and, really being abreast of the issues and keeping them informed. I think there's no question that Jody Washington did a really good job of that, and she deserved the victory.
Boy, the unions showed out in full force in what they gave and what they voted. Derek Quinney benefited from that, but it looks like that cost the job of Representative Scott up in Genesee County.
Wow, yeah, and you know, that one was a toss-up going up. You know, we did some polling over there on Friday, and we had Scott beating the recall 50-42%, and that was on Friday. But, you know, the number was still at 50, and there was still a high margin of error, so it was still technically a toss-up. You know, I did think that Scott would be able to survive that recall, but you got to remember, though, you know, in recall elections, it's always the pro side, it's always the yes side that's the most motivated to get out and vote. And the MEA was pushing hard in support of it. And, you know, Paul Scott really got kind of hammered there from both ends, too, from the liberals and the Democrats, and also from the far right. There was a story up in Genesee County in that Flint area several months ago about how he fathered a child out of wedlock with his campaign staffer. And that really, you know, maybe for average folks, it's like, yeah, okay, whatever. I mean, that kind of stuff happens. But, you know, for the real hardcore conservative, that's really kind of, you know, nauseating for them, I suppose. And so there wasn't really a motivation from that hard right to get out and support Paul Scott for the recall. I mean, maybe they would have supported Paul Scott if they were at the voting booth. But, you know, that was the only thing on the ballot up there, and it may not have gotten them out to the polls. I think if Paul Scott was on the ballot in November during a general presidential election, I think the results would have been a lot different.
All right. Anything else happen around the state that's going to impact the state or us here in mid-Michigan?
Nothing necessarily that's going to impact the state, but I do want to draw your attention to a proposal that was in Kalamazoo that got passed overwhelmingly that basically decriminalizes the possession of small amounts of pot, which I thought was really, really something else. I mean, the proposal basically says that for people over 21, if you're caught with a small possession of pot, that is really the quote-unquote lowest priority of law enforcement. So it basically makes possession of pot the equivalent of jaywalking and, you know, makes police officers turn the other way. I thought that was interesting. And then in Traverse City, there was a reinforcement of a new city ordinance that includes gay, lesbians, and transgendered people in the city's anti-discrimination law. It specifically says transgendered people, and so that's a lot different than what you're going to see elsewhere in the state. And really a victory for the pro-gay rights groups. We're very happy to see what happened there in Traverse City.
And, of course, you will have election and proposal results on MIRS, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. We talk a lot about the Paul Scott race. There was an open race in Oakland County and a lot of races throughout the state.
All right. Thanks so much, Kyle.
It's my pleasure, Tony.